Well, I am very blessed to have received the invitation to come back and be with you all here at Living Hope, especially during this time of year. And just as a personal note, in the sense of my spiritual father being here, Dr. Gainey, I was grateful to hear from him that my name had been humming around here in a good way. So that means he taught me well, because I sat under his tutelage in seminary, and he is actually one of not just our mentors, but as I said, a spiritual father for Port and myself. So grateful to know that you are in good hands. There was a little bit of trepidation in the sense of standing in his stead, but I'm grateful to be able to be here. I'm thankful to be celebrating Advent with you all. I shared with a few of you that this actually I said to Port, these past 2 years have been very challenging for our family. There have been a lot of things that have been going on, a lot of health issues that we're still battling through. But, you know, God is still on the throne. And I believe that as I was praying this morning, Lord, please give me the strength to be able to be with our family at Living Hope, and feeling really rather weak, I'll be honest. But isn't it true that in our weaknesses, that's where the strength of God rises up and we see his glory shine through and we get out of the way? So I was like, okay, Lord, I really don't feel good. So I'm just praying that you will speak through me this morning and encourage my brothers and sisters during this very special time of year. So before I start, let's just go before the Father. Gracious God, we give you all praise and glory and honor, and we thank you for the gift of another day. As you have impressed upon my heart, sometimes there are things that we take for granted, but they are just an evidence of your grace and your mercy in our lives. So today, Lord, I pray that you would speak through me, your servant, and that it not be my words, but your words, to encourage your sons and daughters to be all that it is that you have purposed and planned for us to be, and for us to make your name known and you glorified. These things we thank you for and praise you for as though they were already done. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So the gift. I was thinking a few things in regards to the title of this message, but in the sense of, I don't know if you all knew that I am also an executive director of a small nonprofit that serves at-risk urban youth in the Richmond and Greater Bay Area. And we just had a celebration with them where it was an annual Christmas celebration. And of course, they knew that they were going to receive gifts that had been donated to our organization for them. But one of the things that I was impressing upon them is the reason why you are receiving this gift. And I was so grateful to hear, even with all of their excitement and everything else, when I asked them, why are we here? They all shouted out, Jesus! And I said, yes, this is Jesus's birthday. And the beauty of it is you get to get gifts at his birthday party. But ultimately, he is the greatest gift. And as we think about this time of year with Advent, and, you know, people are somewhat nervous or oftentimes hesitant to say Merry Christmas because we don't want to be offensive. I want to encourage you, if you celebrate Christmas, to say Merry Christmas. And then if someone says, I don't celebrate Christmas, then to ask them, so you're not taking the day off on December 25th? Because we all get that holiday, and I don't see anybody chomping at the bit to go back to work on that day. So in a sense, yes, it is a gift to them, whether they wanted it or not. And ultimately, that is what God is. He's a gift, whether we wanted it or not. He knew we needed it. And so today we're just going to look at a little bit, and thank you so much for Princess for reading about Advent and the 4 weeks that we celebrate prior to Christmas Day, the day that we celebrate the birth of Christ. But one of the things I will give you a personal note as well is that really, as believers, it is our opportunity to be able to celebrate Christmas throughout the year, because Christ is the reason why we are all joined here together. And my husband laughs at me because I have Christmas socks and I wear them throughout the year. One of the reasons why I do is because they make me happy. They give me joy. The other reason why is it's a good way to remember that, you know, we don't have to just celebrate Jesus at this time of year, but we have an opportunity to bring Christmas to everyone all throughout the year. So we're going to be looking a little bit today at, just as we've lit the Advent candles, and we know that each one of them very much represents the aspects of what Christ's birth brought to this earth, the gift of hope and the gift of peace and the gift of joy, as we sing about. But the ultimate reason why Christmas even happened is exactly the verse that was already read, the verses in John 3:16, because of God's love, because of God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. As I've shared with you before, I'm one of those people, I like to simmer in scripture, just kind of sit in it for a little bit and pull out. This is a very common verse. We see it at, you know, sports games, and people will post it up on billboards and everything else. But this is one of those very deep verses that has so much context even within it. It preaches a sermon on its own. For God so loved the world. So when the world is saying that God hates them, this scripture defies that totally. Because what we need to remind people is, even though they may have problems with our God does not have problems with them. And he thought of them and thought of us, had us in mind when he made the decision to sacrifice the greatest gift that he had. And that was himself. For God so loved the world. Who? The world. That is everyone. Everyone in creation he loves. There is no one that can say that God hates them. And when people say that God hates people, they are lying. That is not a truth. What God hates is sin. He does not hate the people. He hates sin. The sin that people do. And the sin is simply, he hates it because what it does is it separates his people from him. Rightly so. And so as we look at this text and we realize the depth of what it is that God was bringing through this very precious gift at this time of Advent, and as you've probably already been discussing over the past 4 weeks, Advent is us looking forward to the coming of Christ, his birth, and being able to recognize that and celebrate it, which is why we can easily say Merry Christmas. And it's oftentimes funny how people are off put by that. And even in the sense of, they said, well, I prefer to say Happy Holidays. Well, actually, it's Happy Holy Days. So again, this goes back to the fact that what has impacted the world, the calendar of the world, is the birth of Christ. This is a stage for us right now to be able to share with people about what it is that we believe and why we believe. Even when they don't believe, even sometimes when we don't believe, the fact that Jesus Christ's presence here on this earth made such an impact, it changed the calendar. That's huge. So when you feel that you may have struggles with defending the faith or defending not Christianity, but defending Christ, defending the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior to come, because that is what Christ means. You can just look at all of the evidences that he allows for us to have that show his faithfulness in his presence here on earth. So as we look at this text, very familiar, for God so gave his one and only Son. There were no others. There are no others like him. He is the only one. But the thing about it is, God is identified here as the Father. And that is so vitally important, because for us, we need to understand what that love looks like. Now, one of the things that I really want to do is to make sure that we understand, when we say love, we're not talking about loving pizza or loving the 49ers. My husband would cringe because he is a Raider fan. Or loving even our church building or anything else. We need to understand that, because today, when people talk about love, it can mean a whole lot of things. So we want to look at very specifically, what is biblical love? What is biblical love? The four areas of biblical love start with the love that God exemplified, which is agape love. And that agape love is an unconditional love. There are no boundaries. When we say that God gave his only son, he did so sacrificially, selflessly, not selfishly, selflessly. And that is a prime aspect of what we should understand about what true love really looks like. It's selfless. It's not self-seeking. It's unconditional, meaning that you don't owe anything in order to get it. And if you had something to give, it wouldn't be enough to pay for that type of love. The next love is romantic love, eros, the romantic or sexual love between two people. Oftentimes, when we hear people saying love is love, first of all, you can't define a word by the word itself. You really can't, because you're not defining it. When you say love is love, what does that mean? It's very subjective. But oftentimes, what they're talking about is eros love, romantic love between one of two people. And here's the thing. That is something that God created, but he created it in an order. The first love that we are supposed to have is the love for him, because of the love that he showed for us first. And then the other loves fall from there. So if we look at creation, there was an order, for God so loved the world. In the beginning, God created, and everything that he created was good. Everything he created was good. He did that out of love. And then the very next thing that he created, the final thing that he created mankind in his image as a reflection, not just to look like him, but to have his character and his being. And then as he created mankind, male and female, very specifically, there became the opportunity for eros. The next love is storge. Storge is the love between a parent and a child, or family members. So even in the creation story, we see the progression of what love looks like, in the sense of it starts with God, then it goes to the two that he brought together as one to be able to procreate and make more in his image. And then from there, it goes to the family. And then finally, philia, which is brotherly, sisterly, a deep affection, a friendship shared between friends, the extended family. So even in that, there was order. God has always been a God of order. And oftentimes what ends up happening is because we are not reminded, or we are not mindful of why God did what he did, we don't know how to defend or support or even proclaim what it is that God wants us to be able to, in the sense of us him giving us the opportunity to represent him well on this earth. God the Father gave. He gave his only son, and he gave out of this love, agape, the greatest gift. The greatest gift was himself. And in himself, not only was he gave himself in the sense of, when you look at in the Genesis account, he said very clearly his desire was to have intimate relationship with mankind. How do you know? Because in Genesis it says he walked with them in the garden. And it was only when sin came into the picture that they ran away from him. Again, the reason why God hates sin is because it separates mankind from him. But let's look at another text in 1 John 3:1, where it says, "See what great love," this is that great gift that God gave to us. "See what great love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children. And we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him." Here's the thing. When God made the proclamation to be able to send his son to this world in the flesh, what he was also doing was reestablishing that relationship that was created in Genesis, where he as the Father, he as the Creator, was acknowledging the relationship that he has with us. What we have to understand is that tells us who we are. There are so many people in the world that are trying to figure out who they are. What are they supposed to be doing? How are they supposed to be existing? But oftentimes the mistake is that we don't see ourselves as the children of God. He is our heavenly Father. And here's the thing. He chose us. We didn't choose him. We were chosen by love. So even when we weren't looking for it, expecting it, or even anticipating it, God said, "You're mine. You are mine." And in that, there is value in the sense of he is the creator of all things. And he says he wants to identify himself with us. That's a huge, awesome privilege in the sense of oftentimes if we struggle with self-esteem or value issues, when we realize that not only were we created in this image, he used himself as a template to bring us into existence. But then also, too, he reiterated it. He doubled down and he said, "And I'm also telling you that I'm choosing to love you as your father, whether you like it or not." And all of those who may reject God, he feels the same about. His heart's desire, as we saw in John 3:16, as he sacrificially gave his son for the love of the world, was so that none would perish. None would perish. It is not God's desire for anyone to be without him. And that within itself is a gift. We are the children of God. The reason the world does not know us or does not want to accept us is because we are reflections of him. And they are rejecting him because they are thinking that he's trying to keep something from them as opposed to giving all that he gave. There are times where God will do things to protect us from ourselves. And therefore, he disciplines those he loves. He provides structure and boundaries and parameters so that we can be safe. The same way a parent will childproof their home when they've got a toddler so the toddler's not running around sticking objects and plugs and things like that and shocking themselves or getting a hold of sharp objects. It's the same thing. Our Heavenly Father has a love for us. And so when he says no, it is because he is trying to protect us. So when he says no, we need to know why he's saying no. Know the gift that he's given us. In John 3:16-18, it says, "This is how we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has this world's goods and sees a fellow believer in need, but withholds compassion from him, how does God's love reside in him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and in truth." Here's the thing. God has given us the opportunity. God, Jesus, gave us the opportunity when he was here on this earth and he walked this earth and he brought his followers and he instructed them as he was leaving. "You will do greater things than I have done. Go and make disciples." The charge was now given to us. The Father, the Heavenly Father, gave Jesus the mandate to come on earth, to be the gift that would bring us back into right relationship with the Father. Then the Son, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, gave us, his disciples, the instructions to carry on that work. But how were we supposed to carry on that work? Little children, let us love, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and in truth. He promised before he left, he was going to give us what was needed for us to carry out this huge mandate of making disciples like him, so that others would come to know the God, the Father, that he was being obedient to. Action and truth can only happen by the Spirit of God. If we are functioning in our own will and in our own abilities, we oftentimes, yes, we can get things done, but it will not be all that God wants it to be. So he assured us in our success in what it is that he was mandating, asking, commanding for us to do to carry on the mission of God. He gave us his Holy Spirit to be able to provide the action and the truth. We as believers, when we talk about love, God wants us to understand the truth of what love is. Love is not truth in the sense of it takes out of the equation that God is love. Not only is God love, but God showed us, he modeled for us what love looked like when he sacrificially gave of himself in the human form of Jesus Christ. What love looks like, you got to give up something, ultimately. That is true love. We oftentimes think that love is a feeling. It's an emotion. It is exemplified in feelings and emotion. But love itself is action. It is evidenced by God's action in giving. And for us, it's so vitally important if we're going to carry this on. And here's the thing, whether you feel equipped to, whether you feel that you're able to do it or not, God already said that you could. So it's not up to you to decide, can I do this? No, the question is, will you do it? Because God has given you the ability to be able to do it through him that abides in us, the Holy Spirit. Now the question is the Holy Spirit large and in charge in your life the way it should be? The way he should be, giving you wisdom and counsel as to how to live out this gift in this world. First and foremost, we have to be willing to receive the fact that, accept the fact that we have received the gift of love. And then once we understand the depth of that love, it should compel us to give love to others. Because they are so rightly due that love, just as God said. God set the precedence for what love looks like. He said, this is what your love should be exemplified as. It should be exemplified in this way in 1 John 5:3-4. For this is what love for God is, to keep his commands, to do what he says to do. And his commands are not a burden, because everyone who has been born of God conquers the world. That is the victory that has conquered the world, our faith. Here's the thing, love is directly correlated to obedience to God's commands. And God's commands are simply his words, his instructions to give us the good life that he preordained when he created us and brought us into existence. It's very difficult to say that you love God if you don't obey what it is that he's saying to do. If you don't follow the commands, the instructions that he gives us in order to live by. And this is every day. We have to make a conscious decision to live according to the word of God. We can look at other people and judge them and say, oh, well, they're doing those things and those things are really bad, but I don't do those things. Are we consistently being the evidence of love as Christ was when he came and sacrificed himself? If we're falling short on that, if we're not realizing that if there is someone else in need who needs to know our Savior, who needs the gift that we already have and we have not shared because we're fearful of being rejected, Are we fully following God's commands? Oftentimes we're not. We think we are, but we're not. So every day, it's so vitally important for us to go back to the Father to get the plan again, to thank Jesus for setting the example, and to receive the Holy Spirit, which gives us the power and the ability to be able to live out love in action and in truth, and to do so by following God's words. The beauty of it is that God has laid out the instructions for us. We don't have to figure it out. But we do need to know what the instructions are. And that's why it's so important to dig into God's word. There are numerous references to God's love for us and the things that God does out of his love for us. But what is important is not only should we be the recipients of that love, but we should also be the givers of that love. This gift that we are acknowledging that we've received during this Advent season, the gift of Jesus Christ, was not meant to just be kept for ourselves. It was meant to be shared. But first and foremost, we have to be able to receive it for ourselves and be able to know that God, in his love for us, even in the areas where we may not necessarily follow through with what it is that he is commanded and mandated for us to do, he still sees the divine potential that he's placed within us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's by the submission to the Holy Spirit that we are able to live out lives that glorify God and share him with others. The gift of Jesus is a beautiful gift, and I can tell you this, there is no gift that you could ever give anyone that would be more priceless than the gift of Christ. No gift. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's something of this world, it's temporary. But the gift of Jesus is eternal. And the gift of Jesus is given in the sense of just sharing his goodness with others. For God so loved me. For God so loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave. He withheld nothing because we were that valuable. We were that priceless to him in wanting that relationship. And he shares this with us through his word. So we could manifest a love that just keeps on giving. It's a gift that keeps on giving by realizing that God has given us what we need in order to do so. And he does it in a way where he is the one, where he is the end result of what it is that we are trying to offer for others. The love, the gift that keeps on giving. It's an unconditional love. I said it's a selfless love. It's a sacrificial love. Love defined in the way that God manifested it is a love that this world needs. Matthew 22, 37, 40 says, he said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. Here's the thing. When Jesus was talking about the responding to what was the greatest commandment, he made it very clear. If you just love God and you show that you love God by obeying his commands, then if you love others because now you're exemplifying that love that God has given you and you're sharing that with others, you will fulfill every single one of the commands that God made. Every single one of them, if we just do those two things. Those two things. So again, Jesus is making it very simplistic. He didn't want it to be complicated. How do we know how to love? We first and foremost love God. We show our love for God because God is the priority. He is the first and foremost of relationship above all others. Above all others. If we're married, our love for God comes before our spouse. If we have children, our love for our children comes our love for God comes before our children. There is an order. And the reason why there's an order is because he is rightly due of our love first. And then from the love that we experience with him, we have more to be able to give the others, and to do so in a way where God is showing us that we will be able to fulfill all of his expectations. What does that look like for you on a practical basis, on a daily basis? Is there someone in your life who maybe you don't feel deserves your love? Maybe there's someone who has hurt you, offended you, betrayed you, disappointed you. If there is, God still says that we must forgive and be able to extend love. The same way he forgave us and extended love, we again are supposed to do what he modeled to this world. The beauty of it is that God gives us the opportunity to join with him in being able to share the message of love that he gave thousands of years ago in the person of Jesus Christ to secure the relationship that he wanted with the world. He gives us the opportunity to carry it on. But it's almost like I have a really bad habit of people will give me a gift card as a gift, and I will tuck it away thinking I'm going to use it later, and then I never use them. Well, first of all, that's not being respectful of the person who gave me the gift, because they gave me the gift because they wanted me to use it. And then secondly, what am I holding on to it for? Why am I waiting for later? If they give it to you, you should use it right then. God gives us the gift of himself, and he expects us not to hold it, not to put it in the back of the closet or in the drawer for a later time. But he wants us to be able to share this with the world right now. If we have received anything in the sense of knowing the knowledge of Christ, that is something that we can have as a gift to give others, very simply. Just to let people know. This time of year, by saying Merry Christmas. Being able to help them to understand that we celebrate Christmas not because of the decorations, the trees, or the presents, but because of the greatest gift that was ever given, Christ. And we gather together, we mass together to acknowledge his presence in this, his coming into this world. Because without his gift, the sacrificial gift that God gave, God the Father gave in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son, we would not have a relationship with God. So therefore, there is nothing more valuable for us to have outside of that precious gift that he gave us. And then he encourages us to give to others. 1 John 4:7-9 says, dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. The whole point of love was not for it to be held and kept just for ourselves. But God gave his love through his Son, who gave more love. And his expectation is for us to receive that love and be so full of that love, that so overflowing that we can't help but give it to others. So let us look at that. Is there an area in our lives where we don't feel that we are filled to overflowing with God's love that keeps us from extending it to someone else? If there is an area in your life where there's a deficit, this is what you need to take to God, because he has everything you need. He has everything you need, and he allows us to be his vessels to be able to spread with others that same truth. For God to be able to love us so deeply that he withheld nothing, not even himself, what it does is it totally counters what we see in this world today. People are very focused on themselves. They only want things that are good for them. But that is not what God wanted for us, because he knew we needed each other, we needed community, and most importantly, we needed him. And so we as his followers, if we profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, then our heart's desire should be to reflect him to this world, to be able to share the love that he has given us with others for the sake of them also too being able to live through Jesus Christ. Our heart's desire should be that God be glorified in our lives. In this time of year, more than ever, we have center stage opportunity to make his name known, even to share with people why we believe in Christmas and why we celebrate. And if we don't know why we believe in Christmas and why we celebrate, we really need to take time to go back to God's word, to study and understand that he gave a gift so that we would know and we wouldn't just follow blindly. For God to be able to share himself with this world, he's dependent upon our participation. Not that it's not going to happen if we don't do the things that he desires to do, but he invites us to participate in that. And so for us to be able to accept, first and foremost, the fact that Jesus Christ did come and be born to die for our sake is a gift that God gave us. And then to be able to share that gift with someone else to say, this is how much God loved you. This is how he showed his love for you. Because we're celebrating the birth that was to lead to the death, that was to bring us back into relationship with our faithful God. That truth is something that people need to hear. So they understand, as 1 John 4:10 through 12 says, love consists in this. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is made complete in us. Did you ever see yourself as a vessel for God's love to be made complete in? How is God's love made complete in us, being sinners, falling short of God's grace, by us accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, in the sense of acknowledging the truth of him being born for the sake of dying on a cross? That gift, that acknowledgement, enables us to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what gives us everything we need in order to be able to live out what complete love looks like. It's not based upon our feelings. It's not based upon our emotions, because our feelings and our emotions can change day to day. They really can. We see that in this world. But what God says is that my love is consistent. It hasn't changed from the beginning of time. Everything that God has ever done has been for our good, because he is good. And not only is God good, he is love. And he defines and models what love looks like. Love consists in this. Not that we love God, though he expects us to respond in that way, but because he first loved us. So if that be the example, when we are dealing with people who may be categorized as unlovable, the example that God set is that he loved first before that person responded back with love. Sometimes there are times where people can be extremely unlovable. I'm thinking of someone in my life right now. And I wasn't very kind to them one day. And I had to repent before the Lord and then say to them, I am so sorry, but I will not act that way again. Even though they were doing things that were hurtful and harmful to me. When I flipped the script and I started loving in God's way, oh my gosh, it transformed our relationship. And here's the thing, it didn't happen overnight. It did not. I had to be consistent in showing that love on a day-to-day basis. When they cursed me out, when they threatened me, I had to respond with love. I had to see them, and this is with a prayer I prayed. Lord, help me to see them through your eyes. Because right now, all of this hurt and everything, it has really nothing to do with me. But for whatever reason, you've chosen me to be the one to be here in dealing with this unlovable person. And from that, showing up consistently, there has been a wonderful relationship that has developed. But it took time, and it took me not taking it personally. We've already seen scripture that says, because the world does not know God, they do not know us, or they don't want to know us. But that does not mean that we should not want to share God with them. God the Father expects us to do so. That is our mandate as his followers. And it does not necessarily mean that it will be easy. No one ever said it was going to be easy. But he did say he would be with us. He did say he would never leave us or forsake us. He did promise that he would do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So his word promises things that tell us that even with this challenging reminder, we have the ability to be the gift giver. The same way God has given us the gift, now we can give to others. That is the selfless, sacrificial act of being able to share Christ and to be able to live out a life that is pleasing and honoring to God. Do not let this Christmas season go by without acknowledging how deeply we need the gift of Christ. As being those sinners that have been fallen short of the glory of God, but God preordained long before we came into existence his desire for us to be in relationship with him. He secured that relationship by giving the gift of his son, his one and only son. And then he challenges us to be able to do the same to others, to love God and to love our neighbors, to love others. Now, our neighbors are not necessarily always someone that we may be agreeable with, a point of view. Right now, we are in a very precarious place as we just went through a historical election and what it will look like in the next coming years as to will people really be united as one. First and foremost, we have to look at it from a perspective of whatever God allows, he allows in order to get our attention. And then he still expects us, regardless of what's going on, to be those people who will bring his presence into every and any circumstance. So I challenge you to be the gift giver. If you have received the gift, and this is for those who have received the gift of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you have received that gift, I challenge you this holiday season to give that gift to someone else. It is not up to you to bring someone to salvation, but it is up to you to share the Christ who can bring them to salvation. God does the transforming work, but he expects us to be able to deliver the message. The same way the angels delivered the message of the coming Christ, now we have an opportunity as his disciples, his servants, his messengers to be shared to this world. And in giving that gift, you never know when we get to the other side of heaven how many people who might be there because of your faithfulness to God. If you don't know our Lord and Savior, if you have not made a profession of faith, I would challenge you, why not? What do you have to lose? You may think some liberties, some freedom. Quite honestly, oftentimes those things are far less important than eternity. Today, I would say to you, before this Christmas season ends, if you have not made a profession of faith, that you would allow God to give you the gift of eternity through the person of his Son and accepting him as Lord and Savior. But let us not be those that stick our gifts in the back of the closet or the back of the drawer and not use them for the purposes that they were meant to be used for. Let's go before the Father right now. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift of your word, which gives us an opportunity to not have to figure things out, God. You are so gracious and faithful to us in the sense of you have given us the instructions, Lord. Now it is just our responsibility to carry them out. Again, I will say, Lord, it's not a matter of can we do this? Because you promised that we can do it through the power of your Holy Spirit. It's a matter of will we do this? Will we make a conscious decision to sacrificially give ourselves first and foremost to you, to have a relationship that enables us to be filled to overflowing with the love that you so desire to give us, so that we might be your representatives here in this world to do the same? There are so many hurting people, so many people in need to know a God who loves them, a God who cares for them, and a God who values them. Help us be deliverers of that message. Challenge us, God, to be the ones who share that truth by our action, Lord Jesus, and stepping out in boldness so that you might be known and glorified. We give you all praise and glory and honor. And we ask today, Lord Jesus, that we would not leave here the same as we came, but that we would be motivated and compelled to live out your word in action and in truth so that you might be known and your kingdom may be advanced. These things we thank you for and we praise you for. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.